You're on Sunday night on ABC Radio around Australia. Noel Debian's with us. Noel, how are you doing?
John, I am well.
You've come from behind the glass. What have you to share with us?
Popped in to talk to you about New Guinea, really, because it's local and it's a place I like to keep an eye on for our program. And this week, Care Australia's CEO, Julia Newton-House, has just been there. She's just arrived back from setting up stuff on the north part of the island around Goroka, Lai, that sort of area. And she's on the line now. And Julie, can I ask, just if you wouldn't mind giving us an overview of what CARE's been doing there recently?
CARE Australia's been providing assistance in New Guinea since about 1989, but most of it has been emergency assistance. And in 2006, we, in recognition that there actually are very high levels of poverty in PNG, we thought we needed to open an office there and start expanding our program to work with the poorer areas of Papua New Guinea. So I went up to meet with staff to have a general look at our program, and also to open a water supply and sanitation project in a poor district in the Eastern Highlands province.
You've been there since 89, which is, I think, only 2 years after Malcolm Fraser started your organisation, so there's been a fairly long engagement.
Yes, and as I say, most of it's just been emergency assistance, and that's really important. Papua New Guinea had a really severe drought in the 1990s when actually quite a lot of people died of starvation, so we were going in and providing emergency assistance. But what CARE also does is work with communities to provide practical help to improve their livelihoods. So when I say we're starting a program, what I'm referring to is we're moving from just providing emergency assistance during natural disasters, which PNG unfortunately has quite a lot of, to working on practical, sustainable ways in which people's lives will change, not just today, but in the longer term. So if we work with people to give them clean water, work with people to improve their agricultural practices, we'll still do emergency assistance, but it's a shift towards lasting help to improve the lives of people who live in poverty.
You've been up around the Goroka area, Lai, Medang, Goroka. That's about sort of halfway down what we understand is Papua New Guinea, isn't it? Up on the north coast, though.
Yeah, and Papua New Guinea's, I mean, it's a very mountainous, very lush country. And, you know, moving from, you know, drought-stricken Australia and flying into Papua New Guinea, the sort of emerald greens of the country and the dark, muddy browns really hit your eyes after all the sort of, you know, yellow grass, burnt grasses here. Goroka's a pretty little town in Eastern Highland Province, and of course there's a lot of coffee growing, and it's, you know, still huge, beautiful forested areas in that part of Papua New Guinea. So it's about 45-minute flight out of Port Moresby.
So when you arrived in Goroka, what sort of infrastructure, what did you see?
You know, lots of cement buildings, a little airstrip. I think it's maybe 20,000 people, and quite a few people carrying bags of coffee. And coffee is a huge part of the economy there. So it's, you know, there's, lots of the places have got coffee trading houses and so forth, and quite a nice small hotel there. So it strikes you as a very small town with quite a lot of people milling about, and there's always a few security issues in PNG. So most of the places have got their windows barred and there's a lot of security guards, but it's got a beautiful climate there because it's actually quite high up in the mountains, so it's not the sort of extreme heat that you get low down in Port Moresby. It's high enough up to have a really nice climate, so it's quite a popular tourist destination.
So are you talking sort of sealed roads, central bus station, electricity and running water everywhere? Is that what Goroka is like?
Yes, mostly sealed roads. Actually, just the main roads are sealed, and there's quite a big, I think it's a university there, and with reasonable levels of amenities. Most people, I think particularly for tourists, would fly in because Port Moresby, the capital, is not connected to the rest of Papua New Guinea by road. So if you come into Port Moresby on an international flight, you basically have to fly out because it's not connected by road to Ley, Madang, Goroka and Mount Hagen and the other towns that are connected on the Highlands Highway. And we have an office in Goroka. We are working in one of the remote parts of Eastern Highland Province. Goroka is the capital of Eastern Highlands Province. And to get to the area, it's called Abura Wananara District.
Care's been working in a village called Anika too, is that right?
Yes, that's right. It's on the edge of one of the very poor parts of Papua New Guinea. And, you know, for me, I think it's really intriguing that there are really extreme levels of poverty in PNG, but it doesn't seem to be terribly well known. There are about 1 million people out of a total population of about 6.3 million people in PNG who live in disadvantaged areas, who by and large don't have access to electricity, running water, basic services, all the, you know, issues that relate to that, low life expectancy and so forth. This area, Onanika 2 village, is on the edge of one of these very poor areas. It's about 2 hours on tarmac road, pretty good tarmac road, through a place called Konantu. And then you turn off the main road at Konantu and pretty quickly get onto some really terrible dirt roads. And it was okay getting there. It was about three quarters of an hour on the dirt road to get to the start of where we started walking into this place. But on the way back, it had rained heavily and we just kept getting bogged. So it took us several hours. You know, we had to walk through streams and up hills and down, and they'd cut steps into the quite rounded hills. And it was quite interesting. So it's just muddy paths, and these steps had obviously been freshly cut. It's quite a lot of work. I mean, you know, it's a long way. And as we were, it poured with rain for part of the time we were there. And as we were walking out, I realised that the steps had already been washed away. Mm. So, I mean, it's a pretty hard life in some of these places. We walked up into the village, surrounded by several hundred people singing and dancing and so forth. And they put on a really beautiful ceremony as a handover ceremony, an opening ceremony for this water supply and sanitation project.
As I understand it, from my reading about CARE's work there, only 4 years ago, in this particular village, around 200 people actually just died of waterborne diseases.
Yeah, that's right. Because there isn't any sanitation, I mean, there's really basic toilets, no toilets, and people were just collecting water out of the streams, which were also being used as toilets. There was a huge typhoid outbreak and about 200 people died, as you said. So when we went into this community and started talking to them, our usual approach is to ask communities what their priorities are and really work to understand their needs. And this community had no question that their need was for clean water and better sanitation, because they've got this very strong memory of this terrible event where large numbers of people died from typhoid. What CARE provided was we brought an engineer in to do a design and so forth, but actually the work in building the water supply was, it was about a kilometre of pipe from the water source right down into the village, and that work was all done by the people of the village. We supported them, we gave them the materials and so forth, but you know, it's not that we're doing it for them. What we're doing is enabling them to help themselves. And, you know, they did that. They built it all in record time.
The village of Onika too, you fly into Goroka, you drive 3 hours out of Goroka, then you journey another 45 minutes by foot. Is that how far it
yes.
is?
Yes.
So roughly 4 hours from sealed roads, electricity. There's yes. 200 people in the village that can die of typhoid.
Yes. You know, the people in Goroka are well off by Papua New Guinea standards. That's not necessarily well off by Australian standards, but they have access in a place like Goroka. They do have access to electricity, water, and probably some access to formal employment and income generation.
Julia Newton-House, CEO of CARE Australia, thanks for talking to Sunday Nights.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Noel. You're on Sunday Nights. This is the Holmes Brothers.